Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Frankel family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles.
James 1:27 is that we need to really focus on.
Bishop W.C. Martin on Focus on the Family Minute.
Take care of the widows and the orphans.
That's right.
This is what God, the Bible said that's what true religion is all about, that we do this. But I think that for the most part, we have not done due benevolent to James 1:27. I think we kind of swept that under the rug a little bit and looking at it from a different perspective. And we're looking at all the things what we can't do. But the word can't is not in the Bible. But the word can is in the Bible.
That's
so
right.
If we're going to do this thing, the Bible said, I can do all, A-L-L, all things through Christ Jesus. So
yes,
becoming
right.
A child, a God, and doing what you talk about, what you can't do, I believe that the Spirit and the power of God will give you the anointing to do whatever you need to do when it comes to these children.
Hear more at familyminute.org.
Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Frankel family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles.
As the markets have their ups and downs, real estate remains one of the most stable assets in everyone's portfolio. Hi, this is Cindy Mims, owner broker of Colony Mortgage, voted best mortgage company in North County 3 years running. We offer conventional FHA, VA, and reverse mortgages and 100% purchase loans for first-time home buyers. Are you a builder and tired of the red tape when dealing with banks and expensive hard money loans? I have a great new option. Or are you 62 years or older? You can possibly eliminate your monthly mortgage payment and get cash in your pocket. At Colony Mortgage, we have hometown service with competitive rates. We have years of experience with creative financing to find that right loan for you. If it's credit issues stopping you, let us help. We move from our 20-year Atascadero location and now offer two convenient locations to meet personally in Atascadero and Paso Robles. Call 805-466-3598. Thank you for supporting your local businesses.
Little darling, here comes the sun. Yep, it's that time again, and you'll be splashing around in your pool. Are you ready? Stop by Stove and Spa Center in Atascadero and stock up on premium pool care products from BioGuard to properly maintain your pool the quick and easy way. Choose from convenient, easy-to-use pool care systems or a host of individual products and accessories to get that sparkling, clear pool water you love. Visit Stove and Spa Center in Atascadero for advice and all the BioGuard products you need, little darling.
Good afternoon and welcome to Free Talk California with Susanna Luthi on AM 1230 KPRL 99.3 FM. Phone lines are open at 238-5775, 238-KPRL. California Free Talk is brought to you by A-Town Diner in Atascadero on El Camino Real. Now open for dinner every night. Ask about the daily specials. And now, Free Talk California on The Right Choice, KPRL.
Hey everyone, Susanna Luthi here with Free Talk California. Yes, I'm still here, but this is my last week before maternity leave. Hopefully the baby comes in the next week, really hoping. But in any case, next week I will be off for a little while. So I will miss you all, but hopefully we deliver a good final show. And I do have a guest that I'm excited about. It is John Fear from the Center on Immigration Studies. We are going to talk about some underreported elements of the border crisis, downstream results that we don't necessarily hear about. But first, some California news. And do we have a doozy? This is from last night, although it was officially announced this morning. We've talked on the show, and I've had a few guests on talking about Prop 47. And the need to reform it and the desire of Californians to reform it. That was the 2014 ballot initiative that was very deceitfully framed as a public safety measure, which law enforcement point to as the reason that drugs, homelessness, crime have all shot up, basically made it impossible for police to arrest thieves who steal roughly $1,000 worth of merchandise. And no matter how many times they steal $1,000 worth of merchandise, they will not get locked up or charged with any felony. So that is an issue. Well, Governor Gavin Newsom has really made it a priority of his political, using a lot of his political capital to make sure that this ballot initiative, which is supported by law enforcement up and down the state, to reform Prop 47 does not in fact make it. So just a recap, and I forgive me if any of this is repetitive. I haven't covered the kind of shenanigans in huge detail on this show, but the long and short of it is Newsom at the start of the year announced that he was pushing this legislative package to basically serve as an alternative to both satisfy voter angst over California's crime problems while also not really changing anything about Prop 47. He's repeatedly said that he supports Prop 47. His donors support it. They helped bankroll it and write it. And so he was pushing this alternative package. Well, the Prop 47 reform initiative qualified for the ballot with well over the needed signatures. Almost 1 million people signed on to qualify for the ballot. And so with this legislative package that does things like more drug education and kind of tinkering around the edges of like, well, if you burn a store down while you're stealing, we can give you some extra punishment, stuff like that. But that doesn't address the underlying problem that you will not get in real trouble for stealing or drug dealing anymore. So to try to kind of blackmail the supporters of the measure into pulling it from the ballot, he had the legislators add this poison pill language that would basically invalidate their entire criminal justice package if the voters pass the Prop 47 reforms. And how it would look probably on the ballot, the Democratic Attorney General would come up with the exact language, but basically they could say, the first criminal justice reforms, these strong criminal justice reforms that have been passed by the legislature and are already law, will be repealed if you want to pass this ballot initiative. So anyway, that whole move backfired spectacularly, became like this PR debacle. Some Democrats who had their names on bills withdrew their support, withdrew their co-authorship, and they were getting beat up by mainstream editorial boards like the Sacramento Bee and the San Francisco Chronicle. We were really going after them for doing this. Well, so Gavin, kind of fresh off the Biden debate where he served as a surrogate and was glowing on camera, came back, negotiated this deal that was announced today with legislative leaders, where they're going to quickly, and this is in the next couple days, they're going to quickly pass their own version of a ballot initiative that, get this, will be at the very top of the ballot. So the first thing that voters see before they see the actual Prop 47 reforms. And they're calling it a special election so that they can basically do it as a constitutional amendment without a two-thirds vote, which is very hard to secure. And they can do it as basically a simple majority. And on top of that, they basically say in the statute, and you can read it, it's called Assembly Bill 440, and it is live on the California legislative web library. They will basically say if the Prop 47 reforms also pass but gets fewer votes than this, then the Prop 47 reforms will be completely null and void and only this will stand. So it is, I mean, we last week covered how Newsom and the top Democrats killed through the Supreme Court a qualified ballot initiative on taxes. This is a whole other push of really, really anti-voter. I mean, it's pretty intense. And if it passes, which I have no reason to believe it won't, because this was the product of some negotiations, backroom negotiations of Newsom and the legislative Democrats. So they probably have the votes for this. If they don't, face a ton of pressure and actually fear re-election over this, I have no reason to believe they won't vote for this. So this will be set to pass. And then who gets to write the language for the ballot? The Democratic Attorney General. He gets to write what the Newsom initiative will do, as well as the voter-backed initiative. So that is the latest shenanigans out of Sacramento. It is wild, especially in the lead up to July 4th. I was talking to a source in Sacramento and he said, you know, every year around this time, I reread the Declaration of Independence and the list of grievances that Thomas Jefferson includes talking about King George III of England is just resonating more and more. And I thought, okay, I'm going to also review the list of grievances. And I recommend everyone to read it. He's obstructed the administration of justice by refusing his assent to laws for establishing judiciary powers. He has made judges dependent on his will alone for the tenure of their offices and the amount and payment of their salaries. He has erected a multitude of new offices and sent hither swarms of officers to harass our people and eat out their substance. He has combined with others to subject us to a jurisdiction foreign to our Constitution and unacknowledged by our laws. And then he has imposed taxes on us without our consent. So, yes, I recommend rereading the list of grievances and the Declaration of Independence. I do want to also review what happened on a bill that we were following. That's Assembly Bill 1955. It was the last minute legislation introduced to promote secret school gender transitions. It did pass. Kind of no surprise there. The State Assembly gave its final approval on Thursday. It's now on Governor Newsom's desk. We're not quite sure what will happen with that. Obviously, it is something that nationally does not look good for a governor of California with national ambitions to sign. But at the same time, I did speak with someone, actually a longtime unionized teacher from San Francisco, very liberal, who opposes the bill. She said she called the governor's office twice to render her opposition to the bill and was hung up on both times and treated very rudely by staff. And speaking with her, I can say she's a very mild-mannered, very lovely, polite woman. So I can't imagine that she was calling up and yelling at the staff. But she said that the first time she was so shocked at being hung up on that she called back, went through the entire rigmarole of getting on the line with a human being again, and was told by the second staffer, yeah, we know, you're super opposed. And then she was hung up on again. So anyway, that is on Newsom's desk. I did see how our assemblywoman, Dawn Addis, responded to debate on the bill because she sits on the education committee in the assembly. And that was kind of the final committee vetting. She was wearing very massive progress pride flag earrings that includes the transgender mascot, as if there was going to be any doubt about how she would vote. She's wearing those earrings at the hearing. And then she gave an emotional speech in support of the bill, saying tearfully, "There is nothing wrong with being trans." As if schools secretly socially transitioning children does not launch children into psychological confusion and very likely irreversible and grotesque hormonal and body changes, all based on what is being exposed more and more to be an activist lie and medical quackery at best and medical gross malfeasance at worst. So that was a very disingenuous thing to say. When the bill passed on the assembly floor on Thursday, it was quite the sight. I don't know if anyone bothered to watch. They kind of called it to the floor very abruptly. It wasn't scheduled for a vote on Thursday. The floor, because it was the California legislature has declared Pride Month to be a very holy and sacred, ritualistic, very religious themed month. So across the floor, everyone, all the lawmakers' desks were covered in the latest iteration of the Pride flag, which I don't even know what it means anymore. There's so many stripes and signs and so forth. So the entire floor was bedecked with those flags. And the most outspoken assemblyman on this front is Bill Asaley. He's from Riverside County. He represents a district that has one of these notification policies that orders the schools to tell parents if their kids are requesting to be called by a different name and to be addressed as a different sex at school. He is very outspoken on this subject. And when he got up to speak, we had all these very, very kind of emotional speeches by grown men who were crying and talking about how comparing this entire issue with coming out as gay, which it has nothing to do with that. This is a deep, deep psychological and medical issue for vulnerable children. And they are comparing it to something completely different in an effort to cut parents off from their children and children off from their parents, and to allow schools this vast power in influencing these children. So anyway, Bill Asaley was frequently interrupted by the chair of the assembly, Jim Wood, who represents Northern California. And finally, Bill Asaley got tired of it and objected, said, "I'm tired of being cut off." And the chair just muted his microphone. And then at one point, another Democratic assemblyman, Corey Jackson, he writes a lot of the pro-gender ideology laws. He at one point lunged at Bill Asaley, basically said he was coming at him. It was an absolute circus. He had to be separated by his Democratic colleagues. Meanwhile, all the Democrats on the floor were crying and hugging each other. It was like this big therapy session. It was for a supposedly serious legislative body. It was quite something. It was more than I've ever seen at my old sorority house, for example. And whenever Republicans tried to make reasonable points about what the bill was going to do, Democratic lawmakers responded very emotionally and then apologized to kind of unknown people about how the hurtful words of the Republicans were probably so terrible to hear. "We're so sorry you have to listen to this." And I just, yeah, so it was quite something. So many lawmakers just venting and crying and talking about their lived experiences. This in a supposedly serious deliberative body that passes very consequential legislation for all of us. So the short of it was that the bill passed very easily. I think it was a 61 votes in favor and I think 16 votes opposed. But it was obviously going to pass. And yes, now it is on Newsom's desk. So we will see what happens after that. Coming up, I will be speaking with John Fear. He is an investigator with the Center on Immigration Studies. He is also a former administration official with former President Donald Trump. He is going to talk a lot about some investigations that he has been working on, both in terms of how the Biden administration is releasing criminals, undocumented immigrant criminals, and how that's happening. And we're also going to talk, hopefully, a little bit about a blockbuster story that my colleague at the Washington Free Beacon released or published this morning about a secretive program run by the Biden administration, which has not been reported yet, on how our taxpayer dollars are actually funding deported immigrants from Cameroon who falsely claimed asylum and they were deported. They are actually being flown back secretly into the United States and released kind of haphazardly into communities here. So we'll be talking about that story as well. And let's see, I do want to, if we have time, there are a few things that I do want to talk about with some recent decrees from the California Air Regulatory Board. That's more California news, but they basically recently just on Friday just unilaterally banned gas-fueled forklifts. So that just happened, and it's expected to cost billions and billions for the industries that use forklifts. Think construction, everything will become more expensive. So that was just done. All right, well, stay with us. We will be back shortly after these messages from our sponsors with John Fear.
Ace Auto Care in Atascadero, the best price and service on brakes, tires, smog checks, oil changes, and more. Ace Auto Care, all your vehicle needs, everything you want.
Fox News, I'm Tom Graham. The Supreme Court ruling that former presidents have broad immunity from criminal prosecution for official acts. Fox's Brian Yenes has reaction from the Trump campaign.
He told Fox Digital, "I have been harassed by the Democrat Party, Joe Biden, Obama, and their thugs, fascists, and communists for years, and now the courts have spoken."
The high court ruling will extend the delay in the Washington criminal case against Trump over his efforts to overturn the 2020 election results. In a post on X, Democratic Senator Chuck Schumer calling today's decision disgraceful. The murder case against a Massachusetts woman ending in a mistrial. Karen Reed was accused of killing her police officer boyfriend.
A 54-year-old Massachusetts woman potentially now could face another trial here.
Fox's Molly Line outside that rainy Adenham courthouse in Massachusetts. America is listening to Fox News.
Garage door jamming? Time to call Hammond.
Hammond Overhead Door Company has known for over 50 years that you have a choice when it comes to garage door services. That's why they utilize only the finest garage door materials and equipment, and their fleet of fully equipped service vehicles are ready to serve your maintenance and repair needs quickly and efficiently. Hammond Overhead Door Company. Call 238-0524 or go to HammondOverheadDoor.com.
Garage door jamming? Time to call Hammond.
Wake up, Slope County. The corruption we see in our country, the corruption we see in our state, is also right here in our beautiful San Luis Obispo County. Come to the Slope County Tea Party meeting this evening at 6 p.m. to hear investigative reporter Karen Veeley bring us all up to speed on how your tax dollars are now. And soon, your home may be taken from you. Hear the latest updates from Cal Coast News at the Slope County Tea Party monthly meeting this evening at 6 p.m. at Republican headquarters in the Adobe Plaza, Atascadero.
Welcome back to Free Talk California. I'm Suzanne Luthy, and joining me from Washington, D.C. is John Fear. Welcome, John.
Hey, thank you.
Thanks for joining us. So we have a lot to talk about today. I do want to kind of start out, though, with the story from my colleague Joe Simonson over at the Washington Free Beacon. It was published this morning about a secretive program run by the Biden administration where they're actually flying back deported immigrants who were sent back to Cameroon after filing false asylum claims, and now they're being flown back here without anyone knowing. How do programs like this happen?
Well, it's a great question, and it's an amazing thing that Joe has uncovered. As you mentioned, these are all individuals who have had their day in court. They don't have a legitimate asylum claim. They have no right to be here. They were deported as illegal aliens. And now, apparently, gutting deportations isn't enough for this administration, so they're apparently turning ICE into, well, basically changing from the export business to the import business. They're actively going and finding previously deported illegal aliens and bringing them back into the United States. How does this happen? Well, it happens because you have political appointees who don't believe in the mission of the agency that they're supposed to be running. According to the research that Joe did, there was a report, which I did read through this report, and it's publicly available. It's an activist report, an NGO, open border NGO group that has been bellyaching about the fact that people were deported. Well, activist groups that complain about deportations are a dime a dozen. But apparently, this particular group has allies within the Biden administration somewhere, either within DHS or within the White House itself. And it seems they were able to persuade ICE to go out and locate 80 to 90 Cameroonians to bring them back to the U.S. I don't think it's that clear just yet how many have actually come back in. It's also not clear where they're being dropped off. As the story is that they're being kind of scattered about the U.S. at different airports, so there's no obvious large number of people, and that it's sort of diffuse and nobody seems to notice. At least that's the hope. But now that the story's been broken, there's been a request from the reporter to get the Texas A&M University Immigration Clinic, which apparently played a role, to comment. They didn't have anything to say. There was a request to DHS to comment on this, and they've kept their mouth shut. So basically, it's an underground, quiet effort at undermining our immigration laws, and someone has to get to the bottom of it.
Yeah, I did a border trip myself. I guess it was March, I think. And it was just amazing. I was able to speak with border officials who are under a gag order. They're not allowed to talk to anyone. But the entire immigration system is just so on its head that it's they're not allowed to do anything that might vet anyone. But the idea of actually actively seeking out deportees kind of blew my mind as going a whole other level.
It really is. And to your point about these officials not being able to speak publicly, it's really upsetting, because one of the things we did under the Trump administration was to give the officers, give the Border Patrol agents an opportunity to speak. We saw them on camera all the time. They were at press conferences all the time. We appointed them to relatively high positions. I mean, they were running some of these agencies, and we wanted the public to be able to see how things actually operated and to give these law enforcement officers a voice. And now, because this administration is hostile to the mission, these officers have had to reach out to media behind the scenes and to give anonymous quotes. It's not really a great time for a federal law enforcement.
No. Well, speaking of that, I want to talk about some of your own reporting. So we hear there are just headlines all the time, more and more every day. There's a pretty alarming one out of New York City over the weekend of a pretty lethal gang out of Venezuela that is actively recruiting, and they just filmed a recruitment video actually in Times Square. but actively recruiting members, and apparently have just been swarming into the country, taking advantage of the lax border policies. But you did some reporting earlier this year on looked at some data from ICE showing that the Biden administration has arrested and removed significantly fewer criminal aliens than the Trump administration. So let's kind of walk through that. How did you kind of start tracking this before anyone else? I believe it was before anyone else, because now we're seeing lots of headlines, but that was not the case even several months ago.
Right. Well, first off, let's set the stage here. Remember, when the Biden administration came to power, they claimed that the reason their immigration policies were designed the way they were was so that they could do a better job focusing on the worst of the worst and really going after criminal aliens, basically inferring that we weren't doing that under the Trump administration, which, of course, was a complete lie. The reality is, when you go out and do immigration enforcement, the larger the numbers of arrests you make, the larger the number of criminal aliens you're going to encounter. It's just a simple numbers game. If you arrest 1,000 illegal aliens, there's going to be a good chunk of them with criminal records. If you arrest 100 illegal aliens, there's going to be a smaller number of them with criminal records. That's just basic logic. Well, this administration claimed to the courts, to the American people, that their system, their immigration quote-unquote priority scheme, was designed to arrest more criminal aliens. So what I decided to do was take a look at the first 3 years of criminal alien data from ICE, which I helped put together, under the Trump administration, comparing it to the first 3 years of the Biden administration to see how it stacks up. Let me give you some results. What we've seen is a 57% decrease in arrests of criminal aliens. We've seen a 68% decrease in at-large arrests of criminal aliens. Those are basically arrests that occur during an operation rather than a custody transfer arrest at a jail. Remember, it's usually state and local law enforcement, sheriffs, who are the first ones to come into contact with a criminal alien for violating some sort of state, local code, and then they're transferred to ICE, assuming it's not a sanctuary jurisdiction. Those are transferred to ICE, and they become ICE arrests. We've seen a 44% decrease in detainer requests, meaning this administration isn't even trying to take criminal aliens into custody out of the hands of sheriff's departments. We've seen a 67% decrease in deportations of criminal aliens. They're just being allowed to stay. And as far as the DOJ goes, which prosecutes a lot of immigration crime violations, we've seen a 55% decrease in immigration-related criminal convictions. So they're not trying to even apply consequences to the people who are here. Now, how does this shape up? Well, I have some additional data for you on the actual crimes, and you can find this on my website at cis.org, the Center for Immigration Studies, where I look at the 3 years, comparing these 3 years of how they benefited criminal aliens. When, as you mentioned, we see almost weekly, maybe even more frequently than that, a horrible case of someone being victimized by illegal aliens who were welcomed in by the Biden administration. But if you look at the actual crimes, you can see some amazing numbers. So, for example, there's been a 57% decrease in stolen vehicle records. These are looking at the records of aliens that were arrested by ICE during these periods. 57% decrease in stolen vehicle records. 55% decrease in burglary records. 48% decrease in assault records. It just goes on and on and on. 34% decrease in kidnapping records. What this basically means is that the Biden administration is deciding that they prefer to keep illegal aliens with kidnapping records inside the United States rather than deporting them. I don't understand how they could possibly decide that, but that's exactly what they're doing. They think that it's a benefit to American society to leave these individuals here when the reality is most Americans would like to see these folks deported before they even commit a crime.
I have some questions about that, but just a point of clarification. So these are all people with criminal records within the United States, correct? Because when I spoke with border agents and asked about the vetting process, They said, yeah, we fingerprint, but, you know, that only matters if they have a criminal record here. If they've got a criminal record somewhere else, we can't really know if...
That's exactly correct.
So, okay.
That's 100% correct. These are all crimes that have occurred within the United States by these individuals. We have no idea what's going on in these individuals' homelands, unless it's like some serious, horrific crime where there's an Interpol notice. We generally have no idea what type of activity they're up to in their home countries. And really, there's no way for us to know. I mean, we have a pretty decent relationship with the government of Mexico, but our neighboring country, but we still don't have access to all of their criminal records. And the fact is, there are plenty of acts that we would consider criminal in the U.S. that aren't necessarily considered criminal in Mexico or any other country for that matter. And then when you talk about individuals who are coming from countries on the other side of the planet, do you really think we have, you know, criminal records from Middle Eastern countries, African countries? No, we don't. We have no idea. So whenever anyone talks about, well, they're doing a background check and they're being fingerprinted, that really doesn't mean much of anything. And if something does pop up, it just means that they've probably been in the U.S. previously and have committed crimes and were deported at some point and now are trying to make their way back into the U.S.
So you've been around immigration circles much more than I have. What kind of mindset creates the policy that would prefer to keep kidnappers in the country?
That's a question I ask myself a lot. Because the thing is, it's not popular with the American people.
No.
You know, if you're looking at this purely from a political standpoint, and that's where, unfortunately, a lot of folks in Washington, D.C. sort of begin their analysis. You know, how does it benefit my party politically? Even if you look at it just from that perspective, the reality is people across the political spectrum, voters, don't support illegal immigration. They definitely don't support criminal illegal immigration. And yet you have the Democrat Party and some elements within the Republican Party bending over backwards to accommodate people who have no authority to be in the United States. You know, UC Berkeley, of all places, far left UC Berkeley, did a study, a survey a number of years ago, just of Californians, and asked about sanctuary policies. And what they found was that overwhelmingly, Democrat voters overwhelmingly in California were completely against sanctuary policies. We're talking 60, 70, 80th percentile. Black, Asian, white, Hispanic, everyone is against the sanctuary policies. Yeah. Well, they didn't ask that question again because they knew the results were so obvious. But then the question becomes, if it's not beneficial politically, and obviously it's not beneficial according to all the surveys about Biden's performance coming this fall, immigration is one of his worst topics, what explains it? And I think you can only get down to where the money is. And there are a lot of business interests that want to keep the borders open. There are a lot of lobbyist groups that want to undermine immigration enforcement, either because they're looking at it from like a racial standpoint, ethnic standpoint, or maybe it's just, again, cheap labor standpoint. You see a lot of business groups out there funding some of these activist groups so that it's not the business itself that's petitioning for open borders. It's some immigrant advocacy group that's taking the money from the business groups to advocate for open borders. And so for these advocacy groups, it's purely cash. It's piles of money. And that's really what's driving it. And now, under this administration, they chose to put a lot of these political activists, a lot of these NGO, non-governmental organization types, in high places. They're running ICE. They're running DHS. They're running important parts of the White House. And this is the result that they want.
Hmm. And, I mean, it's hard not to, I really have been centrist on immigration for a very long time, but it's gotten to the point where it does feel like it's some kind of societal punishment in some respects. You know, taxpayers are paying for all of this, and people are just being put up indefinitely in hotels and given cash. Is that all part of the business interests? You know, they want cheap labor. I mean, what is that?
I think it's part of it. I suppose there are different motivations. You know, there are some groups that just fundamentally believe that the United States is flawed and that it can be improved by bringing in a different population of people. There are some folks who just say, you know what, we don't think Americans are hard workers. There's jobs that Americans won't fill, which, of course, is complete nonsense. And these groups, I think they all sort of have, you know, a small view that isn't that popular individually, but collectively.
Well, we are jumping into an ad break right now, so we'll hold that thought and pick that up on the other side. Please stay tuned, everyone, for these messages, and we'll be right back.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Stuart Varney, and this is the Fox Business Report.
Stocks edging higher on the first trading session of a new month, quarter, and second half of the year. This week, investors are focusing on labor market data due later in the week for clues to the Fed's path of interest rates. On Friday, the Labor Department will be releasing the all-important jobs report for June. Today's advances were driven by mega-cap tech stocks, with Microsoft and Apple hitting all-time record closes. And shares of Boeing rose 2% after the aerospace giant agreed to buy its key part supplier, Spirit AeroSystems, that it split off two decades ago in an all-stock deal worth around $4.7 billion. The Dow winners, Apple, Microsoft, and JP Morgan Chase. The Dow decliners, United Health Group, Home Depot, and Caterpillar. The Dow rising 51 points, the NASDAQ up 147, S&P 500 up 15. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
If you had $1 million in 2009, today it would be worth less than $700,000. Thank you, big government. Hedge against runaway inflation with gold from Birch Gold Group. Birch Gold will help you convert an existing IRA or 401k into a tax-sheltered IRA in physical gold. I trust Birch Gold, and you can too.
Text the word SHELTER to the number 989898 and get a free, no-obligation info kit on gold. Text SHELTER to 989898 today.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
When it comes to sustainable energy systems and service, Central Coast residents trust Solarponics. Barry from Cambria says, quote, "Bill's presentation was great. He displayed an admirable depth of technical understanding of the system he was presenting. It was a pleasant experience. Thank you, Barry, for your Google review. When we install a sustainable energy system, we're installing 47 years of admirable displays of technical understanding. Don't just go solar, go Solarponics. Solarponics.com.
Attention Central Coast homeowners, it's time to schedule your solar panel cleaning. Spring and summer are maximum solar energy production seasons. Dirty panels can decrease production by 20% or more. Make sure your panels produce the most energy and save you the most money. Visit solarponics.com to get your solar panel cleaning quote. While you're at it, ask us about battery backup and storage. Get more out of your solar energy system. Don't just go solar, go Solarponics. Solarponics.com.
Hi, this is Chris from We Help You Legal. Legal documents should be simple and affordable. At We Help You Legal, there are no lawyers and no high costs, just certified experts to assist you with living trusts, wills, divorce matters, corporations, and LLCs.
Hi, I'm Christina. We also offer notary services. You can find us online at wehelpyoulegal.com or call 805-237-7770.
We Help You Legal, your Central Coast legal document company.
Welcome back to Free Talk California. I'm Susanna Luthi, and I'm joined by John Fear from the Center for Immigration Studies in D.C. And we do have a caller for you, John. You're welcome. You're on the air.
Oh, wow. That was quick. Hey, I wanted to ask if, you know, some of this stuff's so shocking, it makes you feel like you're the only one that knows or you're a conspiracy. Anyway, I wanted to ask if he had any knowledge that the Chinese nationals are given special abbreviated vetting?
I have not heard that. Have you heard that, John?
I have not heard that. One thing I do know is, and you probably are familiar with this, is that the Trump administration did launch an effort to really start focusing on some of the immigration problems and espionage problems related to Chinese nationals. And the Biden administration talked a lot at the outset about how they were going to get rid of it, it's discriminatory, et cetera, et cetera. But the reality is some of that stuff is still ongoing because some of the subject matter experts within the government, career officials, made a pretty clear case to the Biden administration that, yeah, you know, you can say what you want politically, but in reality, there are some serious fundamental problems that that need to be addressed by Homeland Security, by the DOJ, by the State Department with their visa processing and everything else. So I've heard that a lot of that stuff is still ongoing on the inside. I don't know that the Biden administration would admit to a lot of it, but I bet the truth is that they're actually still cracking down on some things. Obviously, there's a lot more work to be done, however.
Right. Well, speaking of cracking down, and I didn't want to jump so quickly from the discussion we were having before the break, but we do just have a few minutes left. I wanted to talk about another investigation that you worked on about the strange kind of seemingly coordinated arrival of two Jordanian foreign nationals who tried to breach the Marine Corps base in Quantico. That's in Virginia. It's one of the main Marine Corps bases. My cousin's husband was stationed there, in fact. And the investigation was first reported by Fox News.
I believe so.
Yeah, I found that one of these Jordanian men was in the United States as a foreign student, and then there was another one who illegally crossed the border just in April of this year in San Diego, in fact, and was released into the country, and then the two of them somehow joined up and came and were found on the Marine Corps base in Quantico. So tell us about this story.
Yeah, we have so many cases like this that are shocking, and then I feel like a few weeks pass and we forget about them because we're on to the next shocking immigration story. This one is very odd. As you mentioned, one of them came across the border. The other one was a foreign student. Now, I do a lot of work in the foreign student area and tried to fix up a lot of problems I saw within ICE. ICE oversees the foreign student program and manages the databases. Well, this guy comes in, one of them comes in, and we don't know what school he was enrolled at. We don't know what he was studying. We don't know if he even attended class. We don't know what the school did, whatever school it was, in response to the person not showing up to class. Did they contact ICE as they're supposed to do under the regulation? Maybe, maybe not. But what we do know is that the guy has been wandering the country for a year. There was no effort by ICE, HSI special agents, to go out and locate and arrest the guy, apparently. Or if there was, they had a lot of difficulty. And then, within a month of his apparent friend crossing the border illegally, these guys meet up and go and try and breach the Marine Corps base. There are so many unanswered questions here, some of which I've written about on our website, but also we've had about five or six different congressional letters written to DHS from multiple members of Congress asking some of these questions, and the deadlines have come and gone. I mean, the Biden administration is openly just ignoring congressional requests for some of this data. I would like to know what school enrolled this person. I would like to know what the school has to say about this. Maybe the school needs to be looked at a little more closely in terms of their enrollment policies. Who are they letting into our country? And the questions just go on and on. But it's a big one, like so many, where this administration is openly hostile to transparency, not telling us anything. And honestly, Congress needs to step its game up and really demand some answers from the folks running things.
We have about 5 minutes left. I know this is a big, big topic. When I was in D.C., I used to ask, I heard from actually a Republican staffer a pretty cynical thing about how Republicans weren't really interested in fixing immigration either because it was always such a good thing to run on. So say, and we kind of saw that big immigration reform effort under the Trump administration die on the Senate floor. What will it take to fix the system? I mean, it did, under Trump, there was obviously so much lawfare going on against every single policy that he tried to do as the executive branch. So should Trump win again in November, how do you see kind of immigration policy playing out?
I mean, I think one of the most troubling things last time was the fact that we had a Republican Congress that didn't do much of anything for the Trump administration. You know, they all bellyached when Trump was the nominee, claiming that it was going to harm the Republican Party and he would lose and we'd lose the House and we'd lose the Senate. And reality is the exact opposite. And yet the Republicans really didn't step up and provide him quality legislation. In fact, the Democrats got a lot of horrible things snuck into various funding bills during that same time period. But this time, I think things are going to be a little bit different. If Trump wins, I think everyone understands that the legislative teams and the congressional offices actually are expected to put some results together. I think you're going to see necessarily a tightening of immigration policy legislatively. You're going to see stronger tools and resources afforded to ICE, CBP, maybe expanded in certain ways, because we have a big mess to clean up now. And the traditional way of going about fixing these problems isn't going to be successful. We need more resources. We need stronger tools. And if Trump is elected, that's effectively what the people will be voting for.
Right, right. I mean, immigration kind of tops the issues, even here in California. Yeah, it's a big issue, and that's actually been a reversal. That's changed in the last year, according to polling. So it is, and one thing that was really interesting to me at the border, and you kind of have to see it to believe it, is you have this vast wall that was obviously very expensive, and it's rendered pretty much useless because there are just a couple holes in the wall that nobody can fix, that nobody can repair or close. And I mean, that just baffled me. It was so, like, there was just this little hole. It was like it would take an hour to fix. And the agents were like, we can't touch it. We're not allowed to touch it.
And people are going to keep trying to breach that, and they're going to keep coming here if they know there are benefits to being here illegally. So we can't just enforce our way out of this mess. It's a combination of both policy changes to discourage the illegal immigration and the enforcement to send people back home. Those two things together will, in time, reverse the problem. But it's not going to be, it can't all be on the back of ICE officers. It has to be something where Congress steps up, tightens up the policies, provides DHS stronger tools. It can be reversed, and it will be.
In the last minute or so, can you voice your optimism for how this can be done, or do you see some optimism in securing the border?
I do, because this is an issue that unifies people. I mean, you can find Democrat voters out there who are going to vote for a Democrat governor or a Democrat senator. You ask them about their views on immigration, they're times. This isn't the situation where Democrat voters just love illegal immigration and open borders. They don't. It's actually, people say immigration is one of the most controversial issues out there. I don't think it is. I think it's one of the least controversial issues out there because the public is so united on this. I mean, more people, there was a CBS survey that just came out a couple weeks ago where like 62-63% of voters want to see all illegal aliens deported. That's pretty tough. 60-something percent of the people, that's more than will vote as a percentage for either one of these presidential candidates. Yeah. That's very tough.
Well, thank you so much, John. Really appreciate you joining for probably my last show before maternity leave. So that was a fun discussion. Thanks so much.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And thanks to all of you who have been tuning in every Monday. I look forward to seeing you on the other side. Stay cool in this hot summer and be well. Thank you so much.
Free Talk California is brought to you by A-Town Diner in Atascadero on El Camino Real. Now open for dinner every night. ask about the daily specials. AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.